Thank you for that. Once again, touching recognition. We're going to talk about the fear of uncertainty this morning. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 15 are the few verses we want to look at briefly this morning. Matthew 2, 13 to 15. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." You know, in these often, for some of us, very familiar passages from Scripture, especially at this time of year during Advent, we, and I'm included in this, become very used to the familiarity of the Christmas story of Advent and often the nativity passages and passages like this. But the challenge, I think, in the midst of that familiarity is to really step into the shoes of those of which we are reading about, because at that time, they didn't have the rest of Scripture written. They didn't know what was going to happen. At this time, if you could imagine, for Mary and Joseph, who recently gave birth to a child, though, yes, quite a bit different than many of us conceived by the Holy Spirit, and yet, as they wanted to make plans for the future and have dreams for the little baby boy, yes, they knew he was special, beyond special. But the instincts of motherhood, of fatherhood, would want everything possible to have a good life for their child, just like you and I. If you can remember those years, for those that have had children or watching your children have children as grandparents, you do everything possible to protect your baby. You get everything prepared prior to their birth and for the next couple of months, everything set so that you can be prepared for the inevitable and things that may go out of control, because it's your baby and you're starting your family and your life and you want everything to go perfectly. And could you imagine just how terrifying and how uncertain and how painful it must have been to hear these words from above that someone is out to harm your child? I mean, step into their shoes for a moment out of the familiarity of Advent season and these familiar passages, and imagine that you were given a divine message that someone was out to destroy your family, destroy your baby. I can't even begin to imagine what they went through. And so in the midst of trying to start a new life with their child, they were called to become refugees and to leave home. And though Egypt was only about 90 miles from where they were at back in that day, that's a significant journey. And to go to a place that wasn't familiar, that didn't speak their language, that had different sights and smells and tastes. Though, yes, there was a significant Jewish community in Egypt. And yet in the midst of that, imagine these young parents who wanted nothing but the very best for their family, just like you and I. And to get this kind of message and to have to uproot and not know what the future holds, they were stepping into uncertainty. And we often forget that in the familiarity of the Advent season in these passages, They knew that God had extraordinary plans. You shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This was the greatest promise in words that they would ever receive. And yet, in the midst of that, here they have a message that someone wants to harm their child and destroy their family. And that they have to go on a 90-mile journey by foot to a foreign nation until God knows when. That's what I love about the story of the Christian faith and the story of Jesus. If we can take the religiosity and the formality out of it and get into the raw and real, what we find is real life taking place. In our world, in our stories, in our children and their children's stories are probably marked more by uncertainty than anything else right now as we think about global events and where our country is at and where our economy is and all the things that make up life after coming out of, as Brian mentioned, this pandemic that really turned our lives upside down. We can all relate to times where we don't feel like we're in control. And that is a tough place to be. And so as we go back to our passage and reflect this week before Christmas, I want to ask one question. What was God the Father doing in the midst of this painful, unwelcomed disruption and uncertainty in the life of his son Jesus as a little child and in the life of his earthly parents, Mary and Joseph? Well, as we have read in our passage, we know, first of all, that the Father indeed, through this uncertainty, was protecting his son in love. For if Jesus did not escape as a refugee down to Egypt, certainly harm could have come to him. And so, to a land 90 miles away with no family, no friends, no support, no home, no job, they left a life of somewhat familiarity into the unfamiliar, into the chaos. And in the midst of that, they were in the very center of God's will. Imagine that. Because fortunately for us, on this side of the Advent story, we know that there is a greater story that is unfolding in the life of this family. Being in the center of God's will in the midst of such painful and terrifying uncertainty. What else was God doing in this time of painful uncertainty in the life of his son, his child, Jesus, and his family with Mary and Joseph? Jesus, even in his infancy, in his childhood, was secondly fully identifying with his people. As our representative, and before even being our representative, as being the representative of the nation of Israel, the people of God, we see how Matthew connected with an Old Testament prophet, Hosea. Hosea prophesied in chapter 11, verse 1, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and I called him out of Egypt. I called my son." Even in Jesus' young life, before he was ministering, Before he was meeting the blind, the lame, the sick, the outcast, the prostitute, the tax collector, fishermen, and all that we read in the gospel stories, Jesus was being prepared to be the true Israel, the true child of God. Kevin DeYoung puts it like this, and this is so good I wanted to share with you. Jesus, put the next quote up there, Jesus would be the faithful son called out of Egypt, filling up what was lacking in the first faithless son, Israel, from his Genesis to his Exodus to his baptism in the Jordan to his 40 days in the wilderness. Jesus was identifying himself with the covenant people. He was the embodiment of Israel. Even in this uncertainty, and let that sink in, the Son of God, the divine Son of God, the eternal Son of God. Yes, though a child, a baby in this stage of what we just read, entered into our world, not protected in a cocoon of a force field to shield them from all that we experience in our lives, but he entered into the thick of it. That's why Christianity is so unique compared to other philosophies of this world and religions of this world. It is raw and it is real. And Jesus does understand what we are going through. And even in these first years of his life, having to be a refugee, having to step into uncertainty in his early life, he was in the midst of this painful episode that was going on in his life and his parents. God was using it to prepare him, even in his young age, to fully identify with the nation of Israel, who also was brought down to Egypt and then was called out. The prophet makes that connection, and now Matthew sees that connection. It would be Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, who would hear these words in Matthew 3:17, "This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." In the midst of uncertainty, Jesus is being prepared for his ministry to be once again the true child of God, the child of Israel. The son, the daughter is representing the nation of Israel that continually broke God's covenant of faithfulness. He would fully identify even in the midst of uncertainty. And we would see in the midst of all that is going on here, thirdly, God's word, his plans, and his purposes are the only certainty in an uncertain world. And if there's anything that we can leave this morning in this last week of what will probably be a lot of craziness, it is God's word. It is his plan of redemption working out through the nations and through his church and through individuals like you and I. It is his purposes that are the only certainty in an uncertain world. The promise that was given to them in verse 21, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." In the midst of the chaos, the danger, the lack of control, the seeming darkness that their world represented and contained, Jesus, even in this young age, allowed himself and the Father allowed himself to enter fully into that, and here they're running for their lives. In the midst of that, God with us, Emmanuel, he will save his people from their sins, will continue to be the foundation and undergirding of the life of Jesus. in the midst of all the chaos, darkness, uncertainty. He understands. And so thinking about these things, a few quick applications as we have this meditation in this brief passage, an episode from Jesus' life. As we've stated before, first of all, uncertainty is a certainty of life. And to be honest, we hate uncertainty. It does something to us when we don't know what the future holds, when we don't know how our lives are going to pan out, or our loved ones. When we're hoping for better things and then things come crashing down on us, who of us likes that? But God doesn't ask us to love it. Mary and Joseph, are you having a great time leaving everything, fleeing someone that wants to kill your son, and to journey to a foreign land, a foreign nation, and stay there until God knows when? Isn't this fun? Woo-hoo! Yes, it is, Lord. Sure is. No, it's not. God doesn't ask us to love it, but will we trust him through it? And no matter how much we want certainty and surety in our lives, we are reminded over and over again that we are not the Lord's and we are not the masters of our lives. We don't control our lives. When we looked at James a year or two ago, we were reminded of this, and we'll put it on the screen, verse chapter 4, verse 14. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Life itself is a daily mercy and gift from God. May we never take it for granted or fall into the sin of presumptuousness. We are reminded of these two truths, that we have very limited knowledge, we have very limited power, and we have very limited control in our lives. We are very fragile, and we don't control the future, and we live in uncertainty. And that causes us to take a right stock of our lives and our plans with a measure of deep humility and acknowledging we don't like uncertainty in our lives, but we realize that secondly, uncertainty provides an opportunity to trust God like no other. Just in this early episode from the life of Jesus, and then Mary and Joseph. I love what Jerry Bridges says. This has been a very powerful guiding principle. God's guidance is almost always step by step. He does not show us our life's plan all at once. Sometimes our anxiousness to know the will of God comes from a desire to peer over God's shoulder, to see what his plan is. What we need to do is to learn to trust him to guide us. And so, my friends, my brothers and sisters, as we think about the unfolding of God's sure story, even in the unpredictable, chaotic world and events that Jesus himself entered into, submitted himself to, had to flee for his life as a young child, we realize that, yes, we will always live in a sea of unpredictability. We don't like it. Uncertainty also defines our story and our families And yet we are learning, thirdly and finally, to live faithfully one day at a time. Chuck Colson, as he reflected on the mistakes that he made in his life and the opportunity for redemption after spending time in prison for his involvement under the Nixon administration in Watergate, he says this: one of the most wonderful things about being a Christian is that I don't ever get up in the morning and wonder if what I do matters. I live every day to the fullest because I can live it through Christ. And I know no matter what I do today, I'm going to do something to advance the kingdom of God. That is faith. You will always live with uncertainty because of our limitations as human beings. But how we live in the midst of uncertainty and uncertain times reflects the God who loves us and wants us to trust him as he reaches out his mighty hands to guide you step by step. Chuck Colson didn't know what the days ahead had for him, but every day when he woke up, what a powerful reflection of a man who hit rock bottom in his life and was in prison. And yet, when he got out day by day, starting a ministry, working in the prisons, prison ministry fellowship, changing lives, serving God, even in the midst of uncertainty. It was Fanny Crosby who wrote, "All the way my Savior leads me, what have I asked beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well." As we live in a time of uncertainty, and as some of us are in a season of deep uncertainty, may we be reminded, just as Jesus himself experienced, that uncertainty is a certainty of life, but the uncertainty provides that opportunity to trust God like no other as we live faithfully one day at a time. And when we cry out, "God, I can't stand this uncertainty in my life. I don't know what the future holds." May we find comfort in the one who plunged himself into a world of uncertainty, himself, our Jesus, as he lived out God's call upon his life. That was the only certainty that he could love, hang on to, and trust God's word, his plan, his purposes. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to recognize and voice the frustrations and, Lord, the fears of living our lives with so much uncertainty. But thank you as we look at your life, Lord, even in your youngest years as a child, that you plunge right into our world of uncertainty. You understand. And because of that, Lord, we cast our fears, our anger, and our frustrations of the lack of control and knowledge of our lives and future. And we trust you that you are good and you are our Father. And so in this week before Advent season, as we often ooh and ah over the nativity scene in the manger, we take time to stand in awe of a God who entered and allowed his son to live a life plunging into the chaos and darkness and uncertainty of first century Palestine, trusting in your word, your plans, your purposes for his life, to be the savior of the world, to save people from their sins. We are so tired of trying to control our lives and fight uncertainty. And so rather than fighting, we surrender, we trust. We know you have the very best plan for our lives and for our loved ones. Even if we can't see it, we don't agree with what you're doing, we can't stand the uncertainty, but we trust you. So Lord, help us to do that this morning. If you've never trusted your life and future to Jesus, would you pray a simple prayer with me? Lord, I am tired of the uncertainty of my life, and I want to trust you as the one who understands uncertainty. Help me to let go. Help me to trust you. You are the Lord. You are the Savior. I want to follow you. And so, God, we give you thanks. And we pray that you would guide us during these times, as I know many of us here in the sanctuary and watching from home online are battling through this very issue. I pray that you would help us to know you understand, that your life was marked by it. And I pray that we learn to trust you. We give you thanks as we enter in this final week before Christmas. Continue to reveal yourself to us, we pray in Jesus' name.